5305. Yeah, you want to explain?
Sure. House Bill 5005 is the budget bill of the Capitol Planning Commission. The budget has been passed by both houses and is out now, but there was unscheduled in there $16,846 for information technology package. There were two parts of the package, hooking up the agency to the state's local area network and development and maintenance of a website or webpage. There was concerns about the cost of the webpage that were proposed in the budget, and so the subcommittee, general government subcommittee, asked that the entire amount be unscheduled pending a review by this subcommittee, particularly with respect to the webpage costs. The agency is here now. It has submitted its request. It is asking actually for a range in amounts to be rescheduled. Your staff would recommend a higher amount in the range to allow it, the webpage to be developed and maintained, but that's still about $4,300 less than the original technology package. The agency has also provided a timeline underneath my memo and its other memo with respect to development of the webpage. It's going to use Department of Administrative Services, Transportation Print Services Division to help in developing the site. So, we have.
Welcome.
Representative Hill and members of the committee, I'm Doug Capps. I'm the executive director of the Capitol Planning Commission. I'm not sure that I can add much more than what Dallas has communicated with you. We currently obviously do not have a web page, but feel the need for one, in part because our agency, we think that there can be some efficiencies gained by having a web page, by having a lot of the information that we provide now in hard copy, printed copy, available, you know, on the web. We actually appreciated the opportunity to be able to take a closer look at what our web page costs were going to be. When we put our budget together, it was a kind of a general estimate given what some other agencies had had paid for the development of a web page. In the meantime, we had much closer consultation with the Print and Distribution Services Division, and they've been very helpful. I guess we're not obligated entirely to use them, but they do provide a good service, and they've done web page developments for other agencies. We've looked at those web pages, particularly those that are of smaller agencies like ourselves, and we feel that they're competent in doing that. And in the course of doing that, they've lowered the estimate pretty substantially. So we're pleased to be able to report that and look forward to your approval of that.
I'm not familiar enough in terms of the staff. There's only the staff at the Capitol Planning Commission.
I'll be happy to answer that, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. It's two positions and 1.6 FTE. Both positions work about 4 days a week.
And then you're, are these dollars you said you're going to get connected to the Capitol Land? In the same funds, or is that covered by a different dollar?
It's part of the same amount. Included in the original request was the $16,000 for connecting to the state's land and the website development. The general government subcommittee had felt that the cost of the web page was a little more controllable and had concerns with the estimate that was provided in the budget. And that's why it asked that it be unscheduled pending review by this committee.
So do you don't have any public access today?
We do not, Representative Hill. Thank you.
So did you take into consideration in the dollars here, the software necessary? I mean, we're talking about such a small amount of money that, you know, I guess you should buy up a contract and you get all the Microsoft products, you know, like, because I'm assuming then you're going to get email, and then you get email from DAS. There's going to be probably a cost associated with that. So I'm just curious in terms of if $3,300.
The entire amount is $12,646. So about $10,000 is for hooking up with the local area network.
How much is?
About $10,000 total. for the local area network hookup.
And including the monthly...
Including the monthly charges and the like. And again, that was an estimate based on DAS providing that and drawing...
Yeah, that's a, I don't know the difference. Whether they're $10,000 to get two people network access, you can go buy DSL service for a lot cheaper than that.
Representative Hill and members of the committee, we've actually considered that as well, and are a little, we want to obviously do the thing that's the most cost effective. Because we are a state agency, we are, I think required is maybe too strong of a word, but at least we have to get approval from IRMD in order to not use the IRMD. There have been some pretty strong arguments to us that we should be connected to the state net. We're up at the end of the Capitol Mall, incidentally, and so we're not the house at the end. Yeah, you've seen it. And those houses are going to be moved shortly. There will be a connection to all of the houses at that point. So the actual connection cost...
So where are you moving to?
Well, they're actually just reconfiguring the houses at the end of the Capitol Mall. They're picking some up and placing them in a little different configuration. So we'll move out, move back in again. Is that more than you wanted to know?
Well, no, I was just having a picture of, like, you know, I'm going to leave, it's Friday, you know, on Monday, I come back and it's, you know.
It makes
yeah, I mean, I think in terms of, I would have a conversation that in terms of, it would seem to me that you could do this more cost effectively rather than spending $10,000 unless for two people, you know, if this is part of a larger scheme in terms of to extend. It looks as an investment. I just know what the recurring charges are out of this.
Representative Hill and members of the committee, the recurring charges are the monthly cost is $370 under the IRMD proposal. However, they have told us that they are in the process of developing a lower cost option for us. We just didn't know what else to budget for that other than the numbers that they had given us.
Any other questions? Well, let's close the public hearing related to House Bill 5005, and we do a work session.
Right.
And a work session related to House Bill 5005.
Yeah. You want a motion to
adopt the LFO recommendations?
Not adopt the LFO recommendations.
Representative Duncan, moves the
Senator.
Duncan. Is that we adopt the LFO recommendations on the Capital Planning Commission budget request and the unscheduled dollars associated with the House Bill 5005. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, what about the $10,000 connection fee? Are they going to go through us or are they going to?
Yeah, I think the discussion is they'll have a conversation and try to reduce that down as much as possible.
So what amount will we be giving to them?
It's the 12,000.
It's the 12,000.
That's included in the 12,000. Mm-hmm.
So not more than 12,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Depending on the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Great. Any further discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing seen none, so ordered. Let's open up a public hearing related to Senate Bill 5507. Welcome. How are you?
Good.
Please explain to us what you're looking at.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if you recall, we had the Department of Consumer and Business Services in front of this committee on April 12th, and at that time you approved the budget note and policy option package 131, which was electronic data interchange staffing information technology support. At that time, I indicated that they were going to be in front of you to do a thorough review of their information technology plan, and they are now here.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee,
committee. My name is Debbie Lincoln. I'm the Deputy Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and our Chief Information Officer is here with me, Dan Adelman, who'll be doing the bulk of the presentation. We have given you a presentation document that looks like this, and we'll be working from that. I would like to do just a very, very brief overview of the agency in the overview tab so you get a sense of the context we're working in, and then I'll turn it over to Dan for the bulk of the presentation. He talks this language and can do it much better than I. In the overview tab, you should have an org chart in there to give you a sense of the size and diversity of the Department of Consumer and Business Services. We have about 1,150 staff, but we have a number of discrete programs. We're something of a federation of independent agencies almost brought together in a single department. We are joined by a particular mission, which is to protect and serve Oregon's consumers and workers while maintaining a positive business climate in the state. Our job is to regulate. We're the largest regulatory agency in state government. Just about all of our programs do have some kind of regulatory responsibility and huge consumer protection responsibilities as well. Just very quickly to run down the programs we have, the workers' compensation system is part of our division that consists of three divisions within DCBS. The first is the workers' compensation division, which administers the workers' compensation law. The Workers' Compensation Board is an adjudicatory arm of the system, and it's part of the department as an administrative entity only. We don't have direct authority over the board, but we do supply their central services. And the third piece of the workers' comp system is Oregon OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. We also regulate financial services for the state through the Insurance Division and the Division of Finance and Corporate Securities, and this is about 13 or 14 different regulatory and programs ranging from insurance companies and agents to banks, credit unions, securities, mortgage lenders and brokers, pawnbrokers, title loans, a whole bunch of other smaller financial services. Part of the department includes the Oregon Medical Insurance Pool Board, which is a high-risk insurance pool. It's essentially an insurance company run out of our department for folks who, because of medical conditions, cannot get insurance in the open market. We include the Office of Minority Women and Emerging Small Business, which is a very small office which certifies those businesses to allow them to get federal and other kinds of contracts.
We're going to have a work session.
And the last program that we have is the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board, which is the regulatory arm that regulates real estate appraisers. There is legislation pending, which we think will be successful, to break this board out as a semi-independent agency, and it would leave our department then at the end of the biennium. We provide central services to all these programs through three divisions. One, the director's office at the top of the org chart provides personnel services, communications and graphics, and some web services, and two ombudsmen in the workers' compensation area. We also have a business administration division and an information management division, which provides centralized business accounting, budgeting, research, and information technology to all the divisions. And it is the information management division budget that you'll be looking at and hearing about today. Briefly, we attempt to balance public and business needs. It's very difficult as a regulator, but very important that we ensure that consumers are protected while business is not over-regulated or gets the appropriate amount of regulation to allow it to stay in business. Our goals, there are several listed there on the next page. I'll touch on two: fairness for the Oregon residents whom we regulate. We want to be sure that those folks who have to comply with regulations see fairness in the system. And the last goal, minimum regulatory burden that both protects consumers while encouraging enterprise. Consumer protection is a very important part of what we do, and we do that actually with the help of most of the businesses we regulate, and to keep that regulatory burden low, but ensuring that consumers are protected. We do a fairly comprehensive business and strategic planning process to come up with our budget. We've really fine-tuned this in the last couple of biennia. And we concentrate on 5 specific initiatives for the department. 3 are external, customer service, regulatory reform, and public information. And 2 are internal, developing our internal workforce as retirements and the baby boomer bulge moves through. We're very, very concerned about ensuring that we have talented and skilled people to do both our technical and our management jobs. And use of technology is our fifth initiative. And I think, as you can, you know as well as I do, that use of technology weaves through all those initiatives. Customer service and public information are very much tied up in technology at this point. We do the strategic planning process both at the division level, because the programs do tend to be fairly diverse and have their own needs. Then we roll that up to the department level and try to integrate both the division's needs for these programs into a department-wide need, so that we are maximizing the use of resources, sharing across the department, and yet ensuring that each division and each program is able to emphasize the needs that they have. On the next page, we talk a little bit about the use of technology, probably because we our work is with businesses, labor organizations, consumers. I think of probably a larger percentage of our customers and constituents have access to technology and to the web than maybe other agencies do, and so we're very much involved in trying to get customer service and public information available to folks through technology. We're involved with the Department of Administrative Services efforts in e-commerce. I sit on the Information Technology Roundtable and the IT Steering Committee, and Dan is chairing the effort to redo Access Oregon as a portal. We're working very closely with DAS, IRMD on those projects as well as many others. We also want to use technology and are continuing to improve our use of technology for internal decision making. We have in our developing data repositories with search capabilities, so that both internally and externally our customers have access to data that's useful for both decision making and for carrying on the business that they're involved in. And, of course, we're always interested in using automation to improve productivity. Internally in the department, we make decisions on most things, and especially technology, and kind of a coordinated, informed approach. We use cross-divisional committees to make decisions, so that we have program people, people with the different interests of their own programs, involved in decisions. Information Resources Steering Committee, the department's IRSC, meets to oversee our use of information technology, to set policies and procedures, to set priorities on the projects and the way we use our resources, to determine standards for acquisition and for cost-effective use, to share information, to share information about the different business applications that the different divisions are using, so everybody can take advantage of those applications, and to be sure that our system fits together as a statewide application, and each division rolls together into the department's efforts, and then the department can roll into the state's efforts and connect to the Department of Administrative Services. We also have a web steering committee that has representatives from all the divisions and sets standards for how our web looks, what's on it, what kind of applications, identified best practices, and those kinds of things. The Department of Consumer and Business Services has no general fund. We're funded entirely from the fees and assessments that are charged to businesses that we regulate, and those are assessed in a chargeback system to support the Information Management Division and the resources that come from that to support the individual division. I want to touch briefly on performance measures and benchmarks. DCBS does support the benchmark number 5, concentration in professional services. We also support number 9, the cost of doing business in terms of the business taxes and assessments that we charge. And we support number 54, the percent of Oregonians without health insurance, both in our efforts through the insurance division and through the medical insurance pool, our high-risk pool. We track dozens of performance measures. Each division has its own that are geared toward its own particular operations, and the bullets on this page are just examples of the kinds of things that we look at. Closure of cases, completion of investigations, number of Oregonians served, workers returned to work, those kinds of things. And we are, Dan and his folks have developed excellent tracking systems and management systems that incorporate the use of those. The last page in this section talks about our information resources, resource successes of the last biennium or the current biennium. I'll highlight just a couple. We have begun to connect, and I think very successfully, DCBS initiatives to the State Enterprise Information Technology Strategy. Again, we're very much involved in what DAS is doing, very aware of it, and complete partners in their efforts. We have developed knowledge bases on our intranet that serves as a communication tool and a basis for policy decisions for our managers that have been very successful. This supports our goal to provide policy makers and managers with information to make informed decisions, and that's becoming a key part of how we manage.
Interesting. Sure. Let me have you jump towards your policy option package.
Sure.
Can you just go over and remind us what the policy option package did?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is a policy option package to support the Workers' Compensation Division for two positions, two information system specialists, $7,000 and $281,604. Why don't I ask Dan to go ahead and give you the details on this position?
Hello.
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Dan Adelman, the Administrator of the Information Management Division for the Department of Consumer and Business Services. We did present this package to you a week and a half ago. This package is a support for our Workers' Compensation Division in several areas. The insurance companies are working nationally to implement a electronic data interchange with regulatory agencies like ours, and they would like national standards to be followed. We are working closely with the national associations and the insurance industry with those standards. What we'd like to do is, with these positions, move forward in several EDI, or electronic data interchange, projects. The three that we have identified here deal with proof of coverage, which is for employers. It represents a contract between the insurance company and the employer that is then submitted electronically to the department that it's approved that they have workers' compensation insurance. The second one deals with medical reporting as a transmission of information about injured workers and their claims and the type of medical diagnoses and cost of those services. The third one deals with the claims reporting itself. That's from the filing of the claim and the subsequent information that relates to that claim. We also would like, in addition to the EDI projects, there are several other business enhancements, process enhancements that the Workers' Compensation Division has requested. They have a large backlog. There's about over 50 requests that they have submitted to us that are backlogged at this time. These enhance their processes and make productivity improvements both within the agency for our staff, but it also helps both employers and insurers, our stakeholders, in how they interface with us. We want to put another project. We want to put internet or out on the internet this workers' compensation coverage, so that physicians' offices, medical providers, and injured workers can look up who their insurance company is, so they will know who to file the claim with. And currently, we receive many, many phone calls into the agency, which are handled now manually, which we believe would reduce staff resources in the agency once this information is available on the web. I think that pretty much covers what that package is for.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about the security issue? Can you talk to them?
Mr. Chair, we do have one project that we've identified for the coming biennium deals with enhancing the security of our information systems. And although we have not had any major issues with security, we have detection equipment that has detected some intruders coming into our department. As we're moving to more open systems and open networks, we're more and more concerned about having beefing up our security. We have been working with DAS, trying to identify better ways to enhance security, both through the wide area network as well as what we can do within our agency. Security involves not only the infrastructure technology, but also the dealing with the processes and policies and procedures within our own organization. And we're trying to enhance that. We're concerned about what's coming down the road in terms of national standards, especially with HIPAA, and how we're going to be required to protect the information there. We're also concerned about, as we move into more making available some confidential information we have, such as on workers' compensation claims, we'll need to make sure that our systems are even more secure than they are today.
And then you work with DAS in terms of security. As I discussed with you, looking at the different options in terms of how we do it and once you move web servers out and limit public access, we can do IP filtering and such to limit people's access into your department. And then maybe, I don't know if DAS is looking at this as providing security as a central service in terms of, so your entire segment goes through a firewall that may be centrally ran rather than every agency crafting their own hodgepodge, you know, firewalls, different systems throughout state government, trying to get a more consistent approach to it. But they may not be ready for that and understand the need to move forward in the absence of that. So, any further discussions? We are in need of a quorum.
We don't have a quorum.
No. We don't have any further. What we'll do is we'll close the public hearing, and then we'll open a work session on Senate Bill relating to Senate Bill 6507, and then House Bill Stand at Ease. Yeah.